Welcome back to The Analysis. This week, I'm sitting down with Dr. Kenneth Harris II to talk about his efforts to give back in the DMV, Boston, and internationally. Harris is a senior project manager for the Aerospace Corporation, but in the community, he's wearing many hats. Let's take a listen. All right, right now we are joined by Dr. Kenneth Harris. He's a senior project manager of Aerospace Corporation, and he's going to be talking to us a little bit about the work he's doing, not just here in the DMV in Prince George's County and beyond, but also in Boston. Dr. Kenneth, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
Yes. The last time we met, we were at NASA. You were working there, and we were doing a story about you for Black History Month. And since then, you just have continued on with your excellence, even being featured in Forbes. How was that?
An amazing experience, I'll say. And it's great to see you again. I think ever since our last interview, we became fast friends. We did the interview at NASA. We did the bunny suit experience. And so I'm glad to see you. And it's been an amazing journey since then.
And I've been looking to see if you were an astronaut yet, because I know you wanted to be an astronaut, but it's coming. It's coming. I have a feeling we will see you in space.
I appreciate that.
Would be cool. So tell me a little about where you are now and how things are going.
Yeah. So presently I'm with the Aerospace Corporation. I've been with them for about 5 years now, spinning off from NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. And so now my portfolio includes not only NASA-based missions, but also DoD missions and a couple three-letter organizations. So some fun stuff on the public side, some fun stuff on the classified sector as well.
And for people who don't understand what you do and your day-to-day, tell us a little bit about your day-to-day.
Yeah, so I spun off from satellite integration. I used to do rocket propulsion systems for a few missions, and now I help advise companies on how to best put their unit into space, or their bird into space, as we say. So worked on things from weather satellites like JPSS to Landsat 9, to SWIFO and SWNEX, all those kind of missions that you look at your phone, what's the weather today, and we could check that out, or it tracks natural disasters. So presently I'm helping clients to put satellites into space.
And for people who don't know, you are from the DMV. And so what has it been like to grow up as a scientist in the DMV and really hone your craft here?
Yeah, PG County, born and raised. I am so blessed to have the experience that I have and to have the people around me that I have around me. I realize that often growing up in Prince George County, it's almost like you live in this bubble of Black excellence. And it's one of the reasons I do what I do, because I realize I was fortunate to have people around me that looked like me in these fields. And so I want to make sure that we're elevated in different spaces, which is why I don't only work within the DMV. I also work, like you said, in Boston and in different cities and also internationally as well.
And how's that going? Now you work with the Juice Foundation. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved there.
Yeah, so the Juice Foundation is a philanthropic arm of Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics. Him and I did a panel with NASA together probably in 2018, 2019. I'm forgetting the exact year, but again, we became fast friends from that. I was on a trip to Boston and texted him and said, hey, man, you want to grab lunch? We grabbed lunch. And he talked to me about this initiative he wanted to do that impacted Black and brown students, specifically in the field of STEM and STEAM. And he has such a strong interest in science and the arts and mathematics and things of that nature. And so what came of that was this program known as the Bridge Program. And the Bridge Program is a program that is a partnership with MIT Media Lab, which each and every summer we bring together students to have these different exposures to different areas of STEM and STEAM. And not only that, but also social action, how they can impact their community. And so that program is entering its seventh year. I've been kind of tied at the hip with his family and running that and helped run that foundation for the past few years. And now we're looking to expand. So looking to do some awesome announcements around after school activities, 4-year programming, some awesome corporate partners. And it's just been an amazing experience. And he's had a great impact both on and off the court. I tell him all the time. I feel it's weird because you look at a person like that, you think they're much older and much more, you know. But I think he just turned 29.
Wow. So that's amazing.
I got 4 or 5 years on him. And I tell him all the time, man, you know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing. And I'm happy to be helping him and his family along this journey.
Yeah. he is a young guy. But also when people look at Jaylen Brown, they always say, oh, he's such a smart guy. I love that for him. And I love the work that he's doing in Boston. Can people in the DMV get involved with you all in the work that you're doing in Boston?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're always interested in partnership. We're always interested in partnership. We're always interested in people that know certain industries and know how to deliver certain curriculum. So we do not shy away from that. Presently, we are operating in Boston because that is the team he plays for. He's from Atlanta. So we have the desire to expand to these different cities, but right now we're being very intentional in how we expand, because there's been, you know, there's certain situations you get into where you try to expand and you do it in such a way that it stifles some things that you're trying to do. I'm trying to say it politically. It stifles the things that you do. And so you want to be intentional in the thoughts. But to answer your question very directly, yes, we would love to have partners from anywhere in the country.
And so I saw an upcoming event that you guys have. I believe it's in January. Can someone from the DMV apply for that program?
So the event in January is not a program in particular. It's more of a symposium, if you will. It's in partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. And this is a national partnership, but we're starting in Boston. So it partnerships with the Boys and Girls Club as well as the YMCA. And this is an opportunity for students specifically in Boston to come to the center and be exposed to these different pockets of STEM and STEAM. So we've got representatives from NASA. We've got representatives from the universities in that area. We have representatives from the Museum of Science and the MIT Media Lab. We will be bringing in humanoid robots. We have a inflatable planetarium we'll bring. So it's a lot of fun science activities. It's really meant for that Boston community right now. It's more or less a pilot. Like you said, we want to turn this into a national thing and a national program through our partners. And that goes back to your other question. Is there an opportunity for the DMV to be involved? Yeah, I think if we want to showcase STEM and STEAM and showcase the opportunity for our students to make these social impacts, then yeah, we would love to have partnership like that.
That's great. So you're going to be traveling to Boston for that, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And what date is that?
That is January 31st is the first iteration of it. And we'll be doing it again in April, on April 11th, we'll be doing a second version of it at the Museum of Science, also in Boston.
Very cool. And what is the mission there? What is the mission behind the Juice Foundation?
Yeah, the mission of the Juice Foundation is to, specifically the Bridge Program within the Juice Foundation, is to be that bridge, right? We want to be that connecting factor where a lot of our students, going back to what I said earlier, don't have exposure to people that look like them within the field, or even they might not even know that they can go into certain paths. I use myself, for example. I always knew about engineering and sciences and things of that nature, but both my graduate and my doctoral degree are both in programmatic management. And so I didn't know that there were avenues for me to get higher in this degree field or in this industry until I was actually exposed to it in my later high school and in my collegiate years. And so one of the main roles of the Juice Foundation is to provide that exposure to our students, is to provide access to our educators, and ultimately to bring our parents into the equation as well, to help uplift our students.
I love that. And you've been working with science and technology in the last couple of years in multiple ways. You were also just a CEO. How was that experience and what did you take away from that experience?
Yeah, so Prometheum is the organization that I formerly ran. And I say formally because I'm still involved. So I started off as an investor within this company, and through a series of events, I was asked to then lead the organization. Went through, you know, crowdfunding, raised a sizable amount of money, and it did some R&D. I guess I'll just take a step back. So Prometheum is all about utilizing and leveraging photocatalytic oxidation to help improve indoor air quality. We saw that during the pandemic and even before the pandemic, there's a number of upper respiratory and other internal problems that can come through the human body based on the air that you breathe. It's not often as high a priority to some people as like water pollution, for example, because you can physically see, you know, contamination in water. But even in this room, you cannot see air molecules. And so for that reason, we dove in heavily, had some deep thought around what it takes to help purify your air in the best way possible that could help to impact even the development of children. And so we did research in the space of schools. We did research in the space of gymnasiums and things of that nature. So Promethean was an awesome experience. It almost became oversaturated from the pandemic because so many people were looking into it, but there's still awesome opportunities to partner and drive the technology forward. We were synced up to a few international partners that had some interest in it, but my schedule kind of became really compact, I'd say. Still very engaged with the organization, but stepped back from the leadership of it.
Nice. And what is the future of Promethean? So will they continue on with their research, and where is it based out of?
Yeah, so Promethean is originally based on the West Coast in Nevada, but we've got our real partners are in Indiana at Purdue University. And so Purdue does a huge amount of our R&D development. The lab that's run there is where we host most of our actual prototype models. And so I've traveled to Purdue before to have these meetings about Promethean. So we're currently working on a new model. Again, I'm working more from like a technical advisor standpoint now, but working on a new model for how we can deploy better indoor air quality in medium to large size spaces.
Beautiful. And, you know, I'm sure your goals have changed since we last spoke. You used to serve as well on the school board. What are you hoping to see in terms of your future and the changes you'd like to make in this world? Because I know you're very smart. You love science. Yeah. And I'm sure you think all day, every day about how to solve real world problems.
So I love my time on the Prince George's County Board of Education. I previously represented District 7. Awesome opportunity, amazing constituents, amazing group of people. We did some amazing programs together. I will say that the work that I've been doing has continued not only here, but also in Boston. I feel that, I guess to answer your question or to answer a question maybe you didn't ask, I don't have a strong interest in going back into politics. I've been doing a lot of prioritization in terms of my family. I have two small children as well. I'm married as well. And that has been an amazing experience to kind of recenter and refocus on them. A ton of time was utilized within the role for the Board of Education, which I wouldn't take back. But I do think that there are additional ways to make that impact even outside of that role. I think the space of politics is a very, very niche space to be in, specifically when you have certain goals or an outlook that might conflict with some individuals. And so, you know, I loved my time while I was there. I understand this is now a time for me to impact in different ways.
That's wonderful. And I'm sure you are leaving a lasting impact. For anyone listening to this who may be interested in science, technology, engineering, what should they know about challenges they may face and how could they overcome it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for that. What I always tell my mentees when they first start off is that this is a difficult field, right? And one of the only reasons I made it through, in my opinion, is the people that I surrounded myself with. Engineering in particular is a team-based industry to be in. I don't build a satellite by myself. I don't put a launch vehicle together by myself. This is all kind of a team-based thing. So it's all about who you surround yourself with. And to be cliche and people just say, just keep going. Like, that's a difficult thing to tell someone because our different individual experiences help to kind of shape who we become within that field. And so the first advice I give folks is who you surround yourself with, and surround yourself with like-minded individuals and people that can push you, people that aren't just going to tell you, you know, yes, that's correct. Like someone that's going to challenge you. My best friend to this day was someone that I went to high school with and college with and is now an engineer. We actually work at the same company now. And so that's been an awesome experience for me. The second thing that I say for anyone within this field is don't be shy to network. I think today people think that they they might be too cool to ask questions, or might be too cool to just come up, introduce yourself. Someone, hey, I'm such and such. I want to get in this field, and I'd love to learn a bit more about you. It's almost like they want the opportunities to come to them. And so, something that I found out later in my career, unfortunately, was that I did need to network heavier, right? And so, networking is a really powerful tool within this field that'll take you further. It sets you apart. I think. I know that a reason that I have such a passion for this field is because I started really young. I started my first mission with NASA when I was 15 years old. And that's because of an internship opportunity where I went there and worked for free. Like I just wanted to see how the programs worked. And so I would go to the center after school. I would walk to the center. I would do some work with them for a few hours and I would go home. And that set me apart from my peers at that time because not everybody was doing that, right? And not everyone has that kind of exposure. And so seeking out opportunity, I'm not saying everyone can just go to NASA after school, but what I'm saying is seek out an opportunity that sets you apart from someone else, right? It makes you stand out in a good way.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And 15, just hanging out at an internship at NASA, very cool. And I believe you said in our last conversation, you also had some mentorship from your parents as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, huge mentorship opportunity for my parents. My dad is an engineer as well. That is the reason that I got kind of hooked on engineering. But, you know, I feel like I can always be real with you. In the space of NASA, the government, it doesn't really work that as a Black man, as a Black woman, you have a son or daughter that wants to get into this field. I'm just going to kind of hand it to him. It doesn't work that way. And it didn't work that way for me. Like I intentionally, and I'm named after my dad.
Oh, so, man. Yes, I forgot.
So I've intentionally never worked on a project with him. I've intentionally never worked under him. And now kind of the reverse, he's never intentionally worked under me. It's fun to say. Because we've always wanted to kind of have those defined lanes. And as I was growing and coming through this field, I remember one time one person told me, hey, you're only here because your dad, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, absolutely not. And that was just an eye-opening experience to say, you know, it exists. It exists for people to try to diminish what you've done and I guess make themselves feel better because of you putting yourself out there, because you put yourself in uncomfortable situations and overcame those uncomfortable situations. And so, you know, I take a lot of mentorship from both of my parents. Now, being a parent myself, I see how much they put into that, me and my younger sister. So I'm forever grateful to both of my parents.
Oh, that's great. And I was going to get to the kiddos conversation. You just brought me right there.
Yeah.
Great segue. I see that you post a lot of content about how you're teaching them about science in very creative ways, in ways that they can grasp.
Yeah.
Can you give people some examples of some of the things you've been doing recently to help them grasp, you know, just basic concepts?
Yeah, I'm not one of the parents that shy away from exposure to your children. Like certain things are only meant for adults, obviously. But when it comes to involving them in things like cooking, gardening, things like that, like, you know, my son has been cooking with me since he was old enough to stand on his step stool. And I've seen him mature through things like, you know, if you're cooking something hot and you put oil in the pan and you put onions in the pan, like it pops. He had a real fear of it popping him when he was younger. And now he's like, oh, you know, I understand I have to put, you know, do X, Y, Z. And so it all goes back to exposure, like not being afraid to say, hey, I'm doing this. Let me just at a very minimal level, expose them to what this is. Also encourage all the parents, whatever you do, just read to your children a lot. Always read to them. And I've heard people say, well, I'm not good at like storytelling when I'm reading and it's not fun. I'm like, they're listening. They're listening to every word you say. And some kids cannot kind of like memorize those books, right? And so that's another exposure piece. Read to them a lot. Involve them in what you're doing. If you don't cook, you can involve them in, I don't know, if you're into art, involve them into art. If you just like conversing or talking, like include them and talk to them like, you know, older individuals. I don't believe in playing down to children. And you know, I think my kids, I think both my wife and I, this has been a partnership. I don't want to take anything away from her, but this has really been a partnership in how to best raise our kids. But it speaks specifically to content that I put out. Cooking's been one. My son was really into helping me garden. So I bought him one of the remote control cars that both him and his younger sister could sit in, but it has a dump truck in the back.
Oh.
So I'm able to like put the soil in it and he'll drive it to the location and
that's
dump
so cute.
The soil and he get out and help do all that kind of stuff. And so I'm thinking, you know, I've asked him if he wants to do more things around cooking and more content like that. So we might actually lean into that content just a bit more, for his exposure. Cause he really does love those things. Even small content we've done around like Legos and things like that, where you can see that you'll have a conversation with him and say, hey, you know, do you want to do these Legos? And he's like, yeah. And we sit down and do the Legos and he gets distracted, you know, 5 minutes later and he runs off. So I'm doing the Lego by myself and he'll come back and it's that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, it's just about it. Being a parent has been one of the best experiences that I've had. I've only been a parent for 5 years, but because I have a 5-year-old and 2-year-old, but I think that's been one of the best experiences that I have. And I love that I have that time back.
Oh, that's awesome. And cooking is a science. I won't tell you how I burned the pot yesterday. It is a that was an accident. It was an accident, but it is a science and it requires a lot of just knowing what it takes to get to the next step. So that helps kids a lot, I'm sure.
Do you bake?
You know what? I just told my husband this. I intentionally am not a good baker. Intentionally. Yeah. So my mom is an excellent baker.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you know what happens? Can never stick to a diet. Every time I stop by the house, we are having sweets. We are having baked goods.
There it is.
So that's why I know I could probably do it.
Yeah.
And I have baked a couple things in the past. And I'm like, okay, this is good.
Yeah.
I'm intentionally telling myself I'm a terrible baker because I loved baked goods. And I know it's my weakness, so I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And baking is the real science. You actually have to measure to do that. And I don't measure when I cook. I'm just like.
You can't measure. My mom doesn't believe in measuring. She's like, just put till your heart desires. I'm like, okay.
Listen to the answer.
Exactly. So I intentionally am a bad baker. I tell my husband, I can't bake. I don't know. We're going to get it from Whole Foods, get a little small slice of cake. And that way we don't have a whole cake
there
in the house.
There it is. Moderation.
Yeah. Otherwise, we will be eating cake all the time. Anyways, got distracted with the baked goods. This is why I don't have baked goods. It's a weakness. Jamaicans love them some baked goods. I'm not even going to talk about the Christmas cake that we are about to have.
Might have to stop by.
Yes, it's really good. It has a little rum in it. Anyways, so, you know, we glanced over it a little bit at the top of the conversations. I do want to reel it back into what you're doing currently. Yeah. You are so smart at describing things and saying it in 1 to 2 sentences. I love that for you.
Yeah.
But for the viewers and the listeners who do not completely understand why we are putting up a satellite and why we're doing all this work, tell them why this work is so important.
Yeah, this so, man, I gotta say this politically again. So I think because, you know, over the past year, you've seen the attacks on the scientific community, not just the space industry, but the health industry as well. Like I have different friends in different professions, but it's not just, you know, putting up a satellite for the means of, like I said, tracking weather and things of that nature. Like, we have military satellites that utilize certain components of that weather data to help with tracking Navy ships, for example. Like there are military components to day-to-day satellites as well. And so there's different reasons to answer your question. There's different reasons to put different satellites into orbit. Orbit's very cluttered right now, I'd say. But there's different reasons to put different satellites into orbit. With the James Webb Space Telescope, that was one that was looking outward from the Earth. So it's looking at the Carina Nebula. It's looking at things external to the Milky Way. It's looking at new star systems that are being born or that were born millions of years ago. And then there are more satellites that are facing internal. That's your JPSS that I mentioned earlier, or your SWIFO satellites. And the reason varies, but it's all purposeful. Like, I want to get back to the point that it's all purposeful, right? Like, we are trying to help move the needle on something, whether it is the United States being in some form of modernized space race, for example, or it's putting boots back on the moon. It's all about understanding where we're going before we just do this moonshot, no pun intended, to get to a place and have more questions than we have answers. And so the reason that I continue to do the work that I do is because I don't want it to lose that importance, right? Like, I think we need people that are championing the importance of work like that. But even more, and I think we talked about this just a little bit, I think that the purpose beyond that is instilling it in whoever comes next, right? Like, I realize my time within the industry will come to an end, and who comes after that, which is why I want to put much more of my time, my effort, my skills, my thought into programs that are impacting students, right? Like, I think that's more purpose-driven work than putting a box in the space. And all of it's important, but, you know, when you talk about your purpose and what and kind of what you think you've been put on the earth to do, I think that's mine.
That's awesome. Thank you for explaining that. And yeah, it sounds like you guys are really seeing what's out there, pretty much.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound like a Joe Rogan question, but do you believe in UFOs?
Wow. Wow. So, again, political answer. So UFOs, no, not so much. I tell you, working on the James Webb Space Telescope, or JWST, and all the listeners can go and kind of look those up. But really, any of the really detailed images you've seen of the universe over the past 3-ish years are probably from James Webb. Before that, it was from Hubble, which was the predecessor. I will say the work that we're doing with James Webb in combination with other missions that are up there, it gives me a good amount of hope that there is something beyond this planet, right? And whenever someone says, hey, do you believe in aliens? My answer is no, but I do. I personally, this is my statement, not NASA's statement. I believe that there is life in the universe. Now, what does life mean, right? Like, is there someone on another planet doing an interview like we're doing right now? I don't think so. But what I do believe is that there are small signs, small inklings of what we would define as life, whether it is early life that came before humans or whether it is the remains of something else, is what my belief is. But I mean, I just think the universe is too big for it to just be us. Like, when you really think about the scale of the universe. Yeah, that's I think that's where I'm gonna cut it off.
I love it. I love it. We're going to reel you back in. And so pretty much space exploration is still a big thing, still needed.
Yeah.
We still need to figure out what's going on. I'm always fascinated by that conversation. And, you know, on Capitol Hill, they're really trying to figure it out. So we'll see what happens next.
They're trying to figure it out.
We're figuring it out. I wish we had cameras that could really show us some stuff. Well, we do have cameras, just not for the public view.
Yeah. Getting less cameras. I'm sorry.
Getting less cameras.
Less engagement from the media.
Well, yeah, right. Dr. Kenneth Harris, thank you so much. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share? We're really proud of you, the work you're doing here in the DMV and beyond, and helping young kids in Boston even more spectacular. I was really excited to see that.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you for this interview. It was fantastic to see you. Fantastic to talk both on the air and off the air as well, and catching up. Congratulations on everything that's happened on your side.
Thank you.
We synced up. I think that, I guess, last message I leave with anyone is, or my own mantra is, it's bigger than me, right? I think that one of the things that I've used some of this free time for over the past year has been different speaking engagements. I've been incredibly blessed to speak on so many stages this past year. I think it was 20 or so stages this past year, in different countries, about different topics. But the message pretty much remained the same in terms of, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than you. We need to be impacting someone beyond us. We need to be pouring into the next generation in some way. And that's just been an incredible opportunity to see how different cultures are doing that, not only from different spaces that are speaking and pouring more dollars into education or pouring more dollars into equitable education. I just encourage anyone within this space or their own space to make sure they're giving back in some way. Make sure you're impacting some student, impacting some family, impacting some community in your own general way, or your own genuine way, based on your own genuine experience, because we need your story in order to move the needle forward. No one can resonate with that specific person except you. Anytime I talk on a stage, I'm looking to impact one individual. It just takes one individual to be a catalyst, to be a domino that's going to hopefully be a spark that continues to ignite a generation. So hopefully everyone will take some action from that and get involved in some way.
All right. Great final words there. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/AnnaLisaGale. I'll see you next time. Have a happy 2026.